It was like a strong invisible string I could feel between the two of us, pulling us together. I told her I thought that was a great idea and I was really interested in talking with her as well. Alma and I exchanged phone numbers and I strongly encouraged her to call at her convenience. A couple of weeks after I met Alma, she called. I knew that we were meant to meet that day. Nothing could have been clearer as we talked about our lives. We quickly found there were many parallels. After talking for some time, we concluded that we should meet in person and ended the conversation by setting up our next meeting. The next time Alma and I met, we talked for a couple of hours. It was a very interesting conversation and not at all a surprise. I told her about my alien contact and she in turn shared hers with me. During our conversation, she confessed that as soon as she laid eyes on me, she knew I had had contact as well. She told me she had felt a strong push to talk with me and to not let me leave until she did so. There it was, confirmation of everything we both initially suspected. We were in contact with the same group of aliens and our initial recognition of that was what brought us together. Alma is a very good friend and confidant to me to this day. She may be a newer addition to my friends, but she is invaluable to me. Her knowledge of the aliens and her own spirit is extensive. She is a beautiful soul and I am grateful to have her in my life. WHO are the people WHO have alien contact. It is important to understand that people who have had alien contact have more to share than just a story about physical contact with an alien race. What the aliens gave us in the way of knowledge is the message. We the abductees are part of the message and it's time to stop and listen. Every person I am aware of that has had direct physical alien contact changed their lives completely after the event. How have our lives changed? What are our beliefs before and after the encounter? How do we feel about seeing the aliens? These are only a few questions that you should be asking people like me, because the next person it happens to could be you. If the aliens do have to make themselves known on a global scale to humankind, it would be to your benefit that you, at the very least, have a general idea as to who they are and what they represent. It is impossible to explain the intimate details of all the knowledge the aliens shared with me or share completely the abduction, contact experience with these beings and expect you to understand fully. You can't. As ambassadors of these aliens, people like me had a great deal of information placed within our beings. We, as humans, lack the ability to translate that knowledge through words in a way that would be understood. These are their gifts to us as participants in this grand design. And his gift of knowledge is the reason abductees are unable to turn our backs on the requests made by them. We understand why they are making the request. The drive we have to complete our specific tasks is almost impossible to say no to. It is made a part of who we are. Let me share an analogy of the complexity of the information shared with me by the aliens. The moment you are born, you begin the process of being exposed to language. At first it is spoken to you and, as you get older, letters, words, books and numbers all become a part of your world. At first you don't understand any of it, yet somehow you know it is important. And this process takes years until one day, all the little puzzle pieces that have been in front of your eyes since birth come together and you can talk, read and write. There is always more to learn, of course, languages, styles of writing, etc. All the information you ever needed was right there in front of you. You just needed time to learn the keys to putting it all together. So it is with physical alien contact. We are given the keys to an inner knowledge and an understanding that is far beyond anything words could ever explain. It would take lifetimes to learn all the languages of the world. It is as though the aliens gave people like myself all the languages of the world in one visit. So when we are asked about what we are told, it is often unexplainable. All we can do is attempt to explain the information in an overview. We contactees, abductees do not, however, have all the answers. We have each been given specific tasks to help humanity further themselves spiritually and emotionally. We have all been given a basic education of universal insights and understanding. From the we have each been taught whatever subject area we need to complete our tasks. One may know about technology, where another person knows nothing of technology but rather about star charts or healing. For this reason, you should never allow yourself to be blindly led by any one person's ideology about life, religion or alien contact. We are all educated differently and therefore do not have all the answers. We are still human beings and are susceptible to our own misinterpretation as well. I constantly question myself on every aspect of this phenomenon, and I ask that you do the same with me or anyone else you research. I, and people like me, have a certain level of understanding that helps me process an awareness of things that humanity cannot always see. We learn that everything we do as a collective affects other dimensions and worlds, and this responsibility should not be taken lightly. And this is one of the alien messages. Most of the people who have had direct, physical alien contact will choose not to speak publicly. They have to be concerned about being ridiculed by the general public. We may be your co-workers, your neighbor, maybe even your best friend. You may have known us for years and never suspected anything out of the ordinary. We must maintain our secrecy to protect our ability to coexist in this world. If, and when, the time comes for the aliens to make their presence known to humankind on a global scale, we are the people who will step out of the shadows to become intermediaries between humans and the aliens. Don't be afraid of us. Give us the opportunity to speak. It is what we are all waiting for. Even though we are the ambassadors of the alien message, we are not perfect. We are still living in a human body in the physical world and have free will. We are here to learn our own lessons just like everyone else. We simply have a different view on life, and it is one that we are waiting to share with the world. When it is time and when the people of the Earth are ready to listen, we, the abductees and contactees, will stand together without fear of ridicule and share our knowledge with you, freely and openly. My father, it was in the early days of my contact that I knew just from looking at certain aspects of the phenomenon, that my father must have had contact himself. The patterns I saw in myself, as well as in the people who came to the group abductee meetings in 1990, often made me think of my father. The day after I was taken on, I suspected his involvement. There were many reasons that I felt my contact was carried on through my father and onto me. My father always talked about the end of the world as though it was an obsession. He appeared somewhat paranoid, often claiming that people were watching him. He talked about survival skills and demonstrated ESP ability on many occasions. Often he spoke of having superior genes when compared to other people, and our family lineage apparently had these special genes as well. He told us as children that we were bred, not just born. It was a frightening thing to hear him discuss as a child. These indicators of my father's involvement may seem insignificant, but they are a glimpse of my reasoning after my abduction on the highway. After I began talking with people in the UFO abductee group, I quickly realized I might be right, as others knew that their contact ran in their family history. It was clear during these meetings that we all suspected, or knew as fact, that contact ran in our family lineage. There were also a number of us who recalled contact starting at approximately age 5 or 6 and then every 6 years thereafter. Another reason I thought he may have had contact was because some of the people I met who said they had contact were crazy. They didn't integrate the aliens' information very well and, as a result, didn't fit back into society easily after their experiences. Instead, the information they received seems to make them completely paranoid, causing them to become completely unhinged. They could no longer see the line between reality and imagination, allowing the latter to take over. Despite my strange encounters, I first try to find a logical explanation for everything. And then, and only then, do I suspect or confirm alien involvement. During my time with the aliens in 1988, they told me that I was partly of them. They told me they had a part in creating me specifically. From my father's ranting and his reaction to me telling him about my highway experience, I believe that there is a strong possibility that I am a hybrid of the tall blonde aliens. After all, my father said he saw them often around the time of my birth. It was then he said they were around him constantly and would not leave him alone. And it could have been the aliens visiting him, or it could have been because of me. As for who my biological parents are, there is no doubt that I am the daughter of both my parents, as I have genetic, physical traits specific to both. It is for this reason, I believe the aliens may have altered my DNA in some way after initial conception. My most recent conversations with my father regarding the alien contact have proven to be almost fruitless. He refuses to give me any more information than he already has. The small comments he has made imply, he knows much more than he is willing to share. Once, as I sat speaking with him, he paused and almost held his breath. He let go of a small smile, almost like a slight wicked sneer, looked me right in the eyes and said, "The government is afraid of you. They think you are one of them?" "What do you mean?" I asked him, knowing full well what he meant, but I wanted him to say it. "They think you're an alien, not human. You even look like them. That's why they are afraid of you. You need to be careful. You shouldn't get involved. It will ruin your life, and I don't want that for you. And this is the only advice I can give you. For today, I must be content with what he has shared with me and hope that in the future he will be willing to tell me more if he knows anything of value or interest about the aliens or about me. Telling my mother and sisters about my contact, each of my family members reacted in a way that I did not expect when I initially told them about my encounter on the highway. I feel that sharing their reactions may help show how this phenomenon has touched each of them, as well as how it has affected me. 1989. It took some time for me to find the courage to tell my sisters about my alien contact on the highway. I had to assimilate the experience for myself first, and then I needed to plan how I would begin that conversation. Since I didn't have the money to fly or drive to Cranbrook to see them in person, I knew my only option was talk with my sisters over the telephone. During my conversations with Janice and Carol, I asked that they not inform either one of my parents. I wanted to explain the experience to my mom and dad myself. After lengthy conversation over the phone, in separate calls, both Janice and Carol's responses shocked me. They both began to cry and said the same thing to me: "You're not my sister. You're an alien. What have you done with my sister?" It took a great deal to calm them down and convince them that I was, in fact, their sister. And this was a very strange response to have, but not completely without reason. The day after encounter, I had changed so much so that everyone around me was concerned. Growing up, I had no concept of spirit guides, astral travel, other dimensions, or other things of a religious or spiritual nature. I grew up with psychic ability but didn't fully understand it. The day after my abduction, my psychic ability peaked and my knowledge and understanding of all things spiritual was suddenly extensive. So extensive, in fact, that it was as though I was given access to the other side. I was tapped into that clarity for approximately a 2-year period after my encounter in 1988. It seemed that overnight I had lifetimes of study of all things relating to spiritual life placed within me. It was extremely difficult to live in normal society with that amount of clarity, but it eventually calmed down, allowing me to better assimilate all the information I had been given. And that access remains to a certain degree to this day, but it has subsided since my initial contact. Some people even thought I looked different after my contact on the highway. Both of my sisters asked me if I remembered them ever being taken by aliens. I told them that I have no clear memories of that ever happening. When I was 4, Janice was with me when I left the house to go with the aliens in the farmer's field, but they sent her back to our home. She did not come with us. Janice is more intuitive than the average person, and Carol also has exceptional intuitive ability. Carol also has some memories that may indicate she could have been taken at some point. She has a clear memory of looking out a window of some type of craft as she is being lifted higher and higher above the earth. And his memory has remained in her conscious memory her whole life. She maintains that it felt like a real experience, and it leaves her with a fearful, foreboding feeling. I assume that if alien contact has partly to do with an alien genetic program, then it would be understandable for both Carol and Janice to have had some sort of contact themselves. There is little to back up this claim, however, yet it should not be completely ruled out. Telling my mom. I didn't want to tell my mother about my experiences in a phone call. I felt that I should share my experiences in person with her. I thought maybe, just maybe, she could shed some light on the subject. For this reason I decided to take a trip to Cranbrook. After all, maybe she had been taken as well. If I am partly alien, as they told me I am, then my mother must have been implanted at some point. Perhaps she had some obscure or strange memory of the event. As I traveled home, I tried to plan the moment I would tell her. I was very nervous about sharing my tale as I was worried how my mom would react. After a couple of days of visiting, I finally found the right moment to talk with her about my experiences. It was early evening and I sat on the carpeted floor in front of her as she sat in her large armchair. As usual, I asked her to allow me to finish my story before asking questions. It helped make it easier to explain. When I was done speaking, her initial reaction was rather calm considering the subject matter. I always considered my mother to be a student of philosophy, as she was well educated in that subject and science. Most of her questions tried to ascertain what the aliens told me. As I shared with her some of the philosophies the aliens shared, she was shocked. My outlook and understanding of life had completely changed. At one point during our philosophical conversation, she asked me if I meditated. Of course, my answer was yes. She then asked me to demonstrate how I went about doing this. I didn't understand why she was so interested in how I meditated, but I was happy to share with her anything she asked to help her accept and understand what I was telling her. As I sat on the floor, I curled my feet inward in a standard meditative position. I placed my hands on my knees and closed my eyes. I visualized inhaling white light, exhaling white light. I sat in this position for no more than 2 minutes and, as my mother watched, I could feel myself changing. My body began to tingle all over and it felt as though a cover over my body fell down, exposing my true self. It was in that moment my mother screamed, "Who are you? What have you done with my daughter? You're not my daughter, you're an alien." I jumped up and followed her as she walked down the hall towards the bathroom, crying. She was clearly afraid of me and yelled for me to get away from her. When I finally got her to calm down, I asked her why she was afraid. "You're not my daughter, I saw you change in front of my eyes. You didn't even look like my daughter." It took half an hour to convince her that I was still her daughter and not an alien. The truth was, the aliens had told me I was partly from them, so maybe I was an alien after all. I certainly wasn't about to tell my family that information. I eventually asked her what I looked like as I was meditating. Her description was nothing new to me, as there had been several people in the past that had watched me meditate and seen the same image of a woman appear in front of them. I appeared as a tall woman with flowing blonde hair and bright blue eyes, wearing a long white robe. Telling my family about these experiences was very difficult for me. When I eventually did tell them, I was somewhat surprised at their reactions. Even though they seemed to be upset, not one of them told me I was crazy. They all believed me at the time. And their belief in my story comes and goes even to this day. I believe it is fear. After all, if all I say is true, then they have to accept that the world is not at all as it appears to be. To this day they support me and encourage me to follow my spirit to find the truth to my experiences and my involvement in this phenomenon. I must admit that my mother has no recollection whatsoever of ever seeing anything strange. She does, however, watch every UFO show on TV and listens to UFO radio programs. The only clue I found that may be relevant is a fear she has of flying through the air. Somehow the thought of this seems to terrify her. Again, this is only pure speculation that this is somehow connected. The encounter at the age of 4 is an important puzzle piece to this story. It is memories from this age that came flooding back to me after my encounter on the highway. It would take 15 years from the time of my highway abduction for Janice to completely remember the same memory. It is also what led me full circle, back to my hometown where it all began. One day while I was visiting my mother in Cranbrook in 1989, Janice came by to visit. The three of us sat talking about what had happened to me, trying to make sense of it all. I asked Janice if she ever remembered anything strange from our childhood. Immediately she said, "I remember there were some strange lights over the shed. You were there, remember?" I did remember and told her so. I asked her what else she remembered and she replied, "Nothing, I just remember seeing the lights over the shed." I knew I couldn't expand on this memory for her. It was important to allow her to remember on her own, or she would never believe it was her own memory and not mine. Months went by after seeing my family. I really wanted to talk to Janice again about that night when we were kids. I was talking to her on the phone when I asked her again about the incident, only giving the details she had supplied. Janice said that I must be mistaken. She didn't remember seeing anything at all and thought I was confused. I didn't push her, understanding that it was a memory that had briefly surfaced, only to go back into her subconscious. For 14 years, Janice's memory would resurface from time to time. I would start the conversation in the same manner each time, asking her if she ever remembered seeing anything strange. As the years went by, she would remember a little more of the incident or forget the whole memory altogether. 2004. In 2004, Janice called me from Cranbrook, where she was going to school at the time. She asked me if she could use the incident of us seeing the UFO above the shed for a short story she had to write for a class she was taking. I told her that would be fine with me. She was happy to hear that because she had already written 3/4 of it and wanted to share it with me. After she was done reading it aloud, I asked her to verbally tell me the rest of the story. When she finished, I said to her, "It's about time you finally got the whole story. Maybe now that you've written it down, you won't forget it this time." She asked me what I was talking about. We then talked about what took place that night as children, and I told her how she had remembered and forgotten the entire event over the years. I was waiting for her to remember the whole story, without my influence. It was amazing, even to me, the detail in which she described that night. She was just as surprised to hear that it was identical in every way to what I remembered. We have the exact same memory. Later that week, once she finished writing the story, she read it to me again. I found it funny that in between the time she verbally told me the end and then finished writing the story, she forgot the blue ball of light that sent a beam of light into her head. When she recounted the story the previous week, she had remembered this, yet she had quickly reverted to her old trick of forgetting the detail. After Janice finally remembered this encounter, I decided to tell her about the gift the aliens had given me. To my astonishment, she remembered it. When she told me where it was, I was once again given confirmation that the things I was remembering were real. Janice had a clear memory that I had wrapped the gift in a piece of white cloth before putting it in the ground. I said nothing to her about where it was or about the cloth, yet she knew about both. She said I told her she was not allowed to touch it and that we had to make sure our father did not find it. When I asked her what it looked like, her memory was very similar to mine. Her description was very close to mine in regards to its shape as well as its size. When we thought about the object, it conjured the same visual image and association of another object, a domino. Janice also said she had a memory of telling our father about the craft and the orb the day after I was taken in 1970. Apparently he laughed and thought it was pretty funny. He said something must have gone wrong because she was not supposed to be there. Strange response for a father whose child had just been taken by aliens. I have no memory of this reaction from him. Changing my blood. The memory of my blood being changed when I was 4 years old was something the aliens did not want me to tell people about for a very long time. I'm not clear as to why. My brother-in-law passed away in April of 2000. A few months later, I was still feeling his presence. One Saturday, I noticed an advertisement in the paper for a psychic fair. I decided to check it out. Being psychic myself, I walked around to see if I got a good vibe off anyone. On my first round I chose a blonde-haired woman in her late 30s, and on my second round I walked over to her to see if she wanted to give me a reading. And this was not something I normally did, but on this particular day I felt compelled to do so. As soon as I walked over to her, she had me take a seat to begin the reading. Before I got comfortable, she told me someone who recently passed away was standing beside me. I knew my brother-in-law was walking with me that day. She added that she thought it was my brother. I told her she was picking up on my brother-in-law. I knew at that point she was a true psychic. The woman then used tarot cards to give me the reading. Nothing of significance was told to me up to that point. She then put the cards away and took both my hands and turned them upward to look at the palms. As she was holding my hands, she all of a sudden let go and said, "What was that? I saw doctors all around you when you were a young child. I saw tubes sticking out of your arms. Is there something wrong with your blood?" I knew right away what she was picking up on, and I also knew that the aliens did not want her to see any more. I tried to change the subject, but she took my hands again, this time holding them tighter. "They are changing your blood." "Why are they changing your blood?" "Andy, they're not doctors, they're extraterrestrials." "Why are they doing that?" She was shaking and her voice was rattled. Clearly she was shaken by the image and abruptly let go of my hands. "Wow. They don't want me to see that." I asked them what they were doing, and they told me it was none of my damn business and to stop looking. The woman was shaken by this vision and rather quickly wrapped up the session. I knew the moment she asked me why there were doctors all around me that it was the aliens she was seeing. I never saw this woman again. The incident she was picking up on was from when I was 4 years old. She was clearly seeing the memory I had of the aliens changing my blood. The memories of my blood being changed as a child were confirmed to me by a complete stranger. And this was one more thing showing me confirmation that all my memories from that experience at age 4 were real and the complete truth. There are so many aspects to ufology that it is impossible to address all of them. In my experiences, I have found that many of them are so strange on the surface that it's difficult at times for people to believe they're true. One of those experiences has been with the men I called the clones. When I talk to people about these men, I am often left with more questions than answers. I don't know who they are, but what I do know is how they affected my life. The real question is, why have they remained in my life for such a long period of time? Why am I of interest to them? I may never know the answers to these questions. It's been years since I've seen Bill or John. They disappeared in 1991 after I began to question them as to who they were and whom they really worked for. Seth was the last clone to come into my life. He never talked to me about anything out of the ordinary. On the contrary, we spoke of average, mundane things. After I left my job at the Cafe Tilda Copyright, he still showed up in my life every now and then. I would run into him on the street or in a bookstore. Occasionally he would come into my new place of employment. For the next 12 years, every time I booked a flight to go anywhere, I would run into him within 1 week of booking the flight. I once told the guy I was dating the whole story about these clones as I reserved a flight to visit my family. I told him that the only time I run into Seth was within 1 week of my flight bookings. Of course, my boyfriend didn't believe me. 2 days later, my boyfriend came by to pick me up from my apartment. He asked me to wait out front so he didn't have to park his car and we could just leave. I went outside to wait and ... there was Seth asking me about any new trips I may be going on. I clearly remember one occasion where I was waiting to run into him, having booked a vacation. I was walking down Granville Street on my way to see a movie. There was still plenty of time before it started, so I was walking slowly, looking in the shop windows. As I did so, I noticed Seth in the reflection of the glass. Instead of turning around, I walked even slower and stood for a longer time at the next window to see if he would pass me. What he did shocked me. He looked directly at me, stopped, and then turned around as if he was looking at something. And this went on for about 8 minutes. It was clear he was waiting for me to notice him, as there was no doubt he was following me. Paranoia? I don't think so. It was ridiculously clear to me what was going on. He was following me, waiting for an opportunity to run into me without it appearing to be out of the ordinary. The last time I saw Seth was in 2003, right after I got back from the trip to Arizona with Carrie.